over into Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12. It is a joy to be at church this morning, and I'm thankful that the churchgoer is here. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is at home today. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 38. Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I want to preach from there this morning, but I want to read verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And here's my fault for today and tonight. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Father, we love You today. We thank You how good that You've been to us. Now I pray that You'd help me preach to be a blessing this morning. I pray if it be one here that is lost and undone without Christ, God, You'd convict their heart. Save them by Your amazing grace. Help us this morning, I pray. Help our nation. Oh Lord, how out of control our nation is. Help our communities, our schools, our families, our church. God, our camp meeting is approaching. I pray, oh God, You'd help us. Be real to us now in this hour. Help me, I pray. I need wisdom and direction. I need unction, and I ask You to help me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. He said that as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Turn with me now in your Bibles, if you would, over into the book of Jonah. If you have a Scofield, you can find it around page 943. The book of Jonah. It is an amazing truth about this story of Jonah. Matter of fact, there's a greater than Jonah here. Who is that, preacher? Oh, there's only one. That is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The other morning I preached out of this text where He said that the Queen of Sheba came from the south unto Solomon, but there is a greater than Solomon here. I'm glad there's a greater than Jonah here today. And so I want to say by way of outline, firstly, that you'll notice there is the telling of Christ in Jonah. It is given. The telling of Christ in Jonah is giving. In other words, Christ told us some things about Jonah that I believe will apply in this day and this hour. This evening, if God will allow me, I want to deal this morning on the telling of Christ in Jonah is giving. But maybe this evening, the types of Christ in Jonah that are general, and then the truths of Christ in Jonah that are greater. Now, first of all, the telling of Christ in Jonah is given. In chapter 1, verse 1, let's note Jonah's call. Now, you can't read the book of Jonah before long. Do you find a couple of major factors about Jonah? First of all, Jonah was a man that was disobedient. He was called to be a foreign missionary. Now, I'm glad we've got a God that is mission-minded. Matter of fact, next Sunday will be our mission Sunday. And you all will have to agree on this thought. God has blessed Liberty Baptist Church not only because His Son has been magnified, but His mission program has been conducted in this day and this time. We're a mission-minded church. You know why? Because Jesus said, go with the gospel. God honors the Bible way. But now we find a Bible character and his call. Look what happens. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where your Nineveh is, but God's got a Nineveh for every one of us to go to that we may be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's Jonah's call. In verse 1, the Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, Jonah's call, first of all, it was a divine call. It came directly unto Jonah. You know, it's hard to miss somebody big as God talking to you. A lot of times when you're talking to others and you'll hear somebody call your name, but there's nobody that's ever called my name like Jesus. I'm glad it is a particular call. And God, ain't you glad that you got a God that knows you by name? Not by number, but a God that knows you by name. Now, there was a divine call. It came unto Jonah. And number two, there was a difficult city. He told him in verse 2, I want you to rise and go to Nineveh. But there was a problem with that. Nineveh was the capital of Syria. It was our Iraq of our day. And they were Gentiles. They were pagans. And here Jonah was a Hebrew boy. And God's blessings had been upon the Hebrew in such a way that Jonah didn't want anything to do with Nineveh. I want to remind you today, even though others are acting different than we act, we're not to hate nobody, but we're not to tolerate their sin, and we are to stand up and preach against it. But Jonah didn't like them people. You know, I've noticed this, that sometimes God will require me and you to say something to somebody else about the son that we really don't want to talk to. But can I tell you, God is interested in sinners, and I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it, there's a God of this Bible that cares about you this morning. Now, I preached on Solomon this week, and I'm wanting to get over into Solomon because I've seen truths there I've never seen that's just magnified up in my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. And you listen to this old country preacher real good this morning. God's interested in you. God's interested in you. And God's not willing that any perish, but all would come to repentance. Young person, if God's dealing with your heart, you need to get saved. Older person, God's dealing with your heart, you better get saved. Now, there was the call of Jonah. We see that the Lord speaks directly by him, simply by the word of the Lord. Aren't you glad that our Bible, Brother Jake, still a talk? American Bible. Some folks say, well, let's get a new Bible. There's nothing wrong with our Bible. We need to get in the Bible that God left us and the Holy Ghost wrote to us. That's the King James Bible. Now the Word of the Lord came to him. Aren't you glad we got a Word that'll come to us? How many times does God give you a Word, but you didn't do nothing with that Word? Now, Jonah's call, it was a divine call. It was a difficult city. You'll notice this. It was great in sin. Reminds me of America. You know, used to, 30 years ago, we were sending missionaries across the waters. And I remember going over in the Philippines a few years ago to conduct a revival meeting there. And some of the pastors asked me, he said, preacher, he said, used to, America sent missionaries to the Philippines. But now the Philippines is sending missionaries to America. You know why? Because the cry of our wickedness that's going on in our country. Men marrying men and women marrying women. And the things that used to be wrong have become right in the eyes of people and even God's people. But honey, you hear me and hear me well. The cry of wickedness is crying in America like never before. Now there is the cry of wickedness. You'll notice Jonah's call. There was a divine call. There was a difficult city. It was great in sin and it was godless in society. Boy, you don't hear God promoted much in our country. Isn't that sad? Isn't it so sad prayer has been taken out of our schools and no longer the textbook is our Bible? When I was in the first grade, I'll never forget, her name was Miss Sharp in Rockvale High School down in Rockvale, Tennessee, right below Murfreesboro. She had set us in a circle, young people, and she had sat on a chair and we'd sat in the floor. She started every day this way. She had two things on her lap. She had a Bible on this knee and a paddle on this knee. And I was scared of both of them. And no longer is either one of them in our school. Not only to discipline our lives, but to discipline our backsides. Mom and Dad, if you don't love your children, then don't discipline. Don't mistreat your children. Don't abuse your children. But you better learn to discipline your children. Now, Jonah's call, it was a divine call. It was a difficult city, Nineveh. Matter of fact, the people in Nineveh had such a reputation that they were the thugs of the day. They were cruelest and heartless. Some of the writers that I read after yesterday about Nineveh said that when their enemies heard they were coming to take their town, they would commit suicide without letting the town of the Ninevites come unto them and take over. They were cruel. They were unusually mean and harsh. And now God has told Jonah, go and witness to your enemy. I wonder what you'd do if God told you to witness to your enemy. We want to get even with our enemy. I was fixing to say something crazy. I was fixing to say I wish I was a little old mealy mouse preacher. I don't know why I thought that. I don't wish that. But I wish I had maybe a little better etiquette than what I have sometimes. But let me tell you something. When you were born a redneck and you was raised a redneck, it's hard to apply the Bible sometimes. But you'll always go right by applying the Bible. God said, pray for your enemy and those that despitefully use you. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon their head. And Jonah didn't want to go where God sent him. And Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Now, here we see Jonah's call. It was a divine call. It was a difficult city. But in verse 3, notice not only this divine call and this difficult city, but you'll see there was a disobedient caution. He said in verse 3, but Jonah. Look what he done. He didn't lay down. I notice this. Jonah never lays down. He rises up. Does anybody live with Jonah? It could be Mr. Jonah or Miss Jonah this morning. But I'm going to tell you, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, and look what he thought. I could have saved him a hard journey. I could save some of you a lot of miles to flee from the presence of the Lord. But the psalmist David said, if I'm in hell, God would be there. If I'm in the bed, God would be there. Honey, let me tell you, you may run, but you cannot hide from the God of this Bible. So he ran from the presence of the Lord. And there was Jonah's confrontation. Not only Jonah's call, but watch this. All of a sudden, verse 3, he gets in a budding contest with God. And I can tell you this. When you get in a budding contest with God, you're always going to lose. But Jonah, all of a sudden in verse 3 and then verse 4, but the Lord. So, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And look what he done. I've noticed when you run from God, you're not headed in the right direction. He went down to Joppa. And the devil had something waiting on him. And the devil's got something waiting on you when you're looking for an excuse to not do what God's bidding you to do. The devil's always there. He's always there to discourage you. You can come to church first time, somebody will say something to you and try, you know, the devil will try to get you offended. The last thing the devil wants you to do is to go to a Bible-believing Holy Ghost church this morning. That's the last thing he wants you to do. So what you better learn, if you're going to raise your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you better get you some thick breeches on and some thick hide. You better get some glue in your breeches and realize if the devil can blow you out, honey, you're going to get blowed out. But you better determine that you're going to mind the Lord. Now, he had an excuse. He run and all of a sudden the devil met him down there to try to justify his excuse. People love to try to justify what they're doing. All of a sudden when he went down from the Lord, he went down to Joppa, and guess what? He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he got on it and he paid the fare thereof and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now notice this. That the devil's got convenient and set for you, it'll never take you to God, it'll take you away from God. A lot of times we want to justify our excuse. This is what me and you would have said. We'd have said, now God, I'm not going to do what you've asked me to do. So we turn around and we go from the presence of the Lord and we start going down, 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 down in our life, down in our character, down in our Bible reading, down in our prayer life, down in going to church. We just get away from God and all of a sudden we see something and we think, well boy, the Lord's blessing this, but you better be careful. That boat you're about to get on, it's going to cost you more than what you're wanting to pay. And let me tell you, just because it's convenient don't mean it's right. Well, the devil is convenient, but you know God's not convenient. You ever notice that about serving God? You ever notice that when God asks you to do something by faith, it's never convenient? God has showed me what to do tonight, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not convenient in my checkbook, but I'm going to trust Him. I know one thing, if I don't mind God, Brother Lee, I sure ain't going near Him. I'm going to go away from Him. And there ain't nobody been good to me like God has. I don't need to get away from God. I need to be close to God this morning, for there's nobody like our God. And so we see Jonah's call. Then we see Jonah, no doubt, and his confrontation. Verse number 4. All of a sudden, but the Lord said something. Look where he spoke out of a great wind on the sea. Jonah's confrontation. I want to say that he was spoken to by the Word, and he was spoken to by the wind. The Bible said, the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, Jonah's call, but Jonah's confrontation. The Lord came to him, and the Lord started disciplining him through a storm and by the wind. So now, Jonah comes to himself. Nobody had to tell Jonah what was wrong. Jonah knew what was wrong. I've noticed this in my life. If you're having to ask somebody what's wrong, you ain't got what God's wanting to show you yet. But when God shows me and you what's wrong, then there'll always be a light come on about what God's wanting to tell us. Now, watch your Bible. Jonah's call, Jonah's confrontation. But look in verse 6, 7, and 8. There is Jonah's confession. He said this. He said, tell us, we pray thee, in verse 8, whose cause this evil is upon us. What's your occupation? Whence comest thou? What's thy country? And of what people art thou? Now, this is what's happened. And Jonah's running from the Lord. The devil had him a ship waiting on him. And he got on it and he paid the fare thereof. And it's took him down, so far down, he's went in the belly of that ship fast asleep. Storm gets up. And it tears everybody's nerves up on board. And they run down to him. And the shipmaster says, wake up! Aren't you glad we got a shipmaster that'll shake you and wake you up every now and then? So this is what he said. He said, who are you? Where are you from? What's your nature of business? What you doing on board? And so we see Jonah's confession. Verse number 9, he told them about his citizenship. He said unto them, I am a Hebrew. Then he talked about not only his citizenship, but he talked about his Creator. Look what he said. And I fear the Lord. You know, here we see confessions has contradictions. We talk about we know the Lord, but we don't mind the Lord. And so he makes his confession here about his Creator. And then verse 10, he makes his confession not only about his citizenship and his Creator, but he makes a confession about his circumstances. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth in the sea, So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now watch. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now, Jonah's confession. But now look at Jonah's consequences. All of a sudden they took up Jonah, cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now, Jonah's consequence. There's always a consequence to disobedience. Many times storms in life come to us because of our disobedience. Not every time. Sometimes storms will come when you are so close to God, the closest you've been in your life, storms will come. But I'm going to tell you, Jonah found out that his disobedience was going to cost him something. He paid the fare thereof. Now, I like what these men did. They rowed hard and they tried to get to land. And the Bible said they had cast lots. They had stones. And in this time, in this formula, they would cast these lots or these stones and it would give them answers. No longer do we have to cast lots. No longer do we have to guess, because we got a Bible that points us in the right direction in this day, in this hour. So you know what they do? They throw Jonah overboard. They didn't want to. Matter of fact, they knew that it was going to bring death to them. You know something? These sailors, they were at the point of death, their life. They were about soon to lose everything on this vessel. And Jonah said, throw me over. So look, verse 15. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now you know, when we hear about a man catching a fish, it don't surprise us much. But when a fish catches a man, it gets our attention. And so, God, knowing in this something, God had something prepared to get Jonah where He wanted him to be. He prepared. I mean, when this little old fish was born, God was sure he got fed good, because he had somebody that wouldn't obey him soon that he needed to swallow. Now, I want to say something. You may have been disobedient in your life, and I may have been disobedient in my life, but I want to point out something about this fish. The greatest day in Jonah's life is when he got swallowed since he disobeyed. Jonah could have saved a whole lot on Jonah if he had just minded the Lord to start with. I wonder if we'll ever get that through. I wonder how much we're going to have to pay until we get it figured out that God's way is the best way. How many times could I have saved my family and my life heartache if I'd just done what God was wanting me to do? And so God had prepared this great fish to swallow Jonah. And now God says in the book of Matthew 12 that as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, could you imagine being in this whale's belly? I was reading yesterday where they've got a history of this, the writer said. I've not seen it. But they said there was a man that fell overboard. A whale swallowed him. They killed the whale, drug him to the shore. And as they cut the whale's belly open, they seen movement. And that man had made it to the other side. But I want to tell you something. You'll read a lot of scholars, and this is what they'll tell you. Jonah died. I believe Jonah could have died. But this is what he done in the fish's belly. And this is what I want to protrude this thought to us this morning. Not only on Jonah's consequences, but look at Jonah's consolation. It may be the greatest day in your life when a great fish swallows you. When a great whale swallows you. Because you know what? Through that great whale, God's going to save you. This is what He done, and I'm done this morning. Jonah's consolation in verse 1. Hey, young children, always remember this, that God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And if somebody asks you, said, do you really believe that? You can always say, yep, my Bible says it's true, and I believe every word of it. God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. We weren't born from an ape. Darwin is in hell this morning. We were created in the image of God the Father. You see, there's Jonah's consolation. Jonah's fish. What fish got a hold of you today? What great whale? Is it the whale of trouble? Is it the whale of circumstances? What's got a hold of you today? Jonah's fish. Number two, Jonah's faith. Look what he done. The Bible said in verse 2, and I said, I cried by reason of mine affliction in the Lord, and He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and Thou hast heard my voice. I don't care what whale or what fish has got you this morning. I'm glad you can pray your way out. Jonah's fish, Jonah's faith. Look in verse 10. Jonah's friend. I'm done. Jonah said in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah up on the dry land. You know, God said, go. Jonah said, no. The whale said, oh. And Jonah said, oh, no. What are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm glad there's a God that'll hear your cry this morning. If I could protrude just a simple thought in the young people in this congregation today, I'd say this. I'm not even going to give an invitation this morning. This is what I want to say to you. If you'll mind the Lord, you'll save a lot of heartache. you'll save a lot of things that sin will cost you on. If you'll mind the Lord, you won't be spending your money foolishly. Jonah paid a fare. He didn't have to pay that. He could have minded God and had more to start with. Number two, I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it, and I don't know what's got a hold of you, but I do know this. Prayer still works. Let's do this morning. Miss Emily, I want you to come. I want you to just play something softly on the instrument. I do want to give an invitation this morning. You know, Jonah's fish, Jonah's faith, but Jonah's friend. You know what God did? You know what God did after Jonah prayed? God had him right where He wanted him. All of a sudden, the Bible said that that fish vomited him up. Released him. Something bad and dark. Could you imagine being in that fish's belly 3 days, 3 nights? How black, how dark. But I want to tell you something. If you die and go to hell without Christ, you'll never get out of that fish's belly. Life may have you caught this morning, but there's a way out. You know what that way out is? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Miss Emily plays today. I want to open this altar. If you need any help around the building, you come to